It's about guarding your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Every one of us have issues. Look at your neighbor and say, you got issues. Some of y'all look like you've been wanting to say that for a long time. You got issues. Now say it with a good attitude. You got issues. Let's just stop right here and pray. You got issues. All God's people have issues. Everybody's got issues because we've all got a heart. And out of our heart flow the issues of life. But you can speak into those issues and you can set things in your favor. You can cast things in your favor. You can also take part in your own destiny. I believe that. I have to believe that. I can't believe that this thing is just left up to fate. How fair would that be? I take part in it. I learned a long time ago that most of my mess the devil didn't make me do. Most of my mess I got into all by myself. All right. Back to Mark chapter 4. The parable of the sower. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now hear this verse. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Will you say that? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Will you just say this right now? Lord, I've got ears. Let me hear. Lord, I have ears. Help me hear. Help me hear. But when he was alone, when Jesus was alone, those around him, his disciples, the 12, asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's a difference in those who are on the inside versus those who are on the outside. What a shame it would be to be on the inside and see and not perceive. And to be on the inside and hear and not understand. See, there's no problem with the word. The word will go forth. It will do everything God intended it to do. Now it's up to us if we see and perceive, if we hear and understand. Be sure that you are a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Because once you hear the word of God, there is a responsibility that comes with hearing the word. And there's a blessing that comes with hearing the word when you obey what the word says. You can't hear the word, be disobedient, and expect a blessing. Doesn't work like that. Tell your neighbor, it doesn't work like that. He who has ears to hear, let him here. As we were talking about last week, we were talking about the soil and the three parts of the soil. And before it got to the good soil, before the seed got to the good soil, was one of the things that really bothers me. I've heard it broken up many different ways. I've heard it broken up in increments of 25% because there's four places that the soil hits. You remember, I told you, don't think of it like a John Deere tractor out there doing the work. Think of it as a sower, a man with a bag of seed throwing it out like that, broadcasting it. My buddy who owned a farm, he had John Deere tractors and all that stuff. He showed me that. He said, there's some things that we're going to plant by hand. And he said, you need to do it like this. And when he reached down to his hand, he did his hand like a whip motion. It was a rhythm to it. It wasn't just throw some out here, because it'd be a bunch there and a bunch there. It's like there's a rhythm to it, John. You do it like that, and you could just see that seed go out. You ever seen anybody throw a casting net? He's the same guy that taught me how to do a casting net. You would have laughed until I got it right. And you'll laugh at yourself, and you'll get frustrated, right, until you to understand there's a way that you throw that weighted net out there till it makes a loop, and then it goes out on the water, and it drops down over the fish. Has anybody ever thrown a casting net? Some of you I'm looking at, you better have thrown a casting net. Okay. Don't talk to me that country talk if you ain't thrown a casting net. But there's something to it. When you throw that thing out there right, you're like, there's going to be a fish in that. That I'm just telling you. And there's a rhythm to the way that we throw the seed out, so that it hits everyone, as it hits every place it needs to, with enough room in between for it to be effective so that it can grow without choking itself out. If you just throw a bunch of seed down in one spot, some of it's going to come up and some of it's going to get choked out because it can't all survive. I mean, you know what they do when they have select cuts in pine trees? They'll come back and they'll plant a bunch of pines, and then they'll come back and they'll cut between them because there needs to be a certain amount of room between the pine trees so that they can receive maximum growth. I've got a friend who's a forester, graduated University of Georgia. He's very highly paid. He's about to retire for planting pine trees. And he told me, I've seen it, we go through the property and it goes with that blue paint and does just stripes the trees. We're going to cut this areas. And then he'd pick out certain trees that you leave and certain trees that you harvest. And I did not know this, that those pine trees that go up and then they form a Y, cut it. Make toothpicks out of that or something. But we'll make pulpwood out of that. We'll do something. But these that are straight, we want those to grow because they have the opportunity to grow and grow and grow and become what they call saw timber. Saw timber is where you make your money. That's when you get those big boards. You don't take a piece of saw timber and make toothpicks out of it or paper. That's for all the trash wood, the leftover wood. That saw timber is your goal. And they've learned that it can go so many years, and if we treat it the right way, we can get a harvest out of it in 20 to 25 years. It used to take 40 years. And then some people are just, before they knew it, like, let them grow, don't cut them, because they're still growing. And they realize, no, there's just about a maximum time. And you cut those trees, and then you replant right behind that. And in so much time, you get the rhythm of the thing down to where you're always harvesting the very best that you can harvest. And by this time in the kingdom, 2,000 years later, I think that we should probably be doing a little bit better in our harvesting. Just saying. So I talked to you last week about choking out that third part where the seed that fell among the thorns, and it said that it grew up and the thorns choked them out. And I told you guys about the work that I had done on my lawn. And right now you could come by and see. All the work that I have done is starting to pay off. It's all of a sudden is starting to pay off. I cut my grass 2 days ago and you can't even tell it's cut. I mean, it's popping. So I'm going to spend some gas on some gas on some grass. I'm going to spend some money on some gas for some grass. I better be careful. I'm about to say something. I think y'all got enough of this point for me to move on. Here's the thing. Either the weeds will choke out the grass or the grass will choke out the weeds. And I've got my grass to a point now where it is getting thick and it's choking the rest out. That's a spiritual principle in your life. Here's the thing. You don't have to manicure weeds. You don't have to do one thing for the weeds to grow. They will grow. They'll grow in a drought. They'll be the only thing that grew is those weeds. It's going to be the same thing in your life. If you let the weeds in and you do not tend the soil of your heart, even strange things will grow. You better hear what I'm telling you this morning. You have been made so in such a creative way from Almighty God. And your soil is intended to be good soil. And here's the thing about the seed. The only thing the seed has to do is touch the soil. So there's some things, if they touch your heart, it'll grow and you'll either have to deal with it or it'll deal with you. You deal with it or it'll deal with you. Some of y'all, it must be dealing with you. When it gets quiet like that, I hit something. But it can be reversed. God will help you get those weeds out of your life because all the weeds didn't come from you. The scripture says that there's one place where the enemy slipped in while they slept. The enemy slipped in and sowed seeds in good soil. And when it came up, it was like, where did this come from? And the Bible records an enemy has done this. You better be careful for what you're doing, and you better realize that it said while men slept. Now men have to sleep, but when it's time for you to be awake and you're walking around still sleeping and not being vigilant, not recognizing when the enemy's slipping stuff in you, slipping stuff into your mind and into your heart and coming through the gates of your eyes and coming through the gates of your ears. That's where your responsibility is at. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hear, they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. To you it has been given. But to those outside, it's not been given. He's saying that in the kingdom, there's an inside information advantage that he'll give you. Insider trading. If you don't think that there's advantage to holding position, he said, there's a position in me that you can have. Let me just meddle for just a second. Maybe y'all can help me something I don't understand. I don't understand how someone can have a job that pays $175,000. And if they saved every penny of that for 10 years, they would have $1.75 million in the bank. But they've been doing what they do a few years and they got $20, $30 million in the bank. That's what our government officials are like. I don't understand that. Except I understand that corruption can slip in. That's the world that we live in. That's people that are over you and me right now. You better be praying because there are people over you. You better be praying. Doing the best that you can do. Trouble will come our way. There are things that we'll pay for that are already set in order. You can't keep going the way our country's been going and think that nothing's going to happen with that. And you can't think that one man's going to come along and fix it. I'll back off now. Some of y'all think you know who I voted for. Let me tell you who I voted for. I voted for God. I remember about, Walker, how old are you? 17. You were about 6 years old. And it was an election year. You're sitting in the back of the car. And all this was playing on the radio. And he sat there. You know, Walker's got that mind that he thinks of stuff. And he's sitting back there thinking. I could just tell he was contemplating. And all of a sudden, he just spoke up. He said, I vote for Jesus. I said, me too, son, and turned the radio off. I said, that's enough of that. There's something to us that we've got to get. And I heard it. I heard the terminology of it this week, and it started making sense to me. And it was on the subject of prayer, and it was just these words right here: a fruitful interior life. And we're talking about production in our life. And he's talking about if the seed hits the soil, you'll get to a place where you'll have production. It said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That means you'll have a crop of increase, 30%. I mean, who wouldn't want that? And 60, even better, 100%. So you don't always know what the production is going to be, but it's going to be more than what you had. And I'll take that. But it talked about this, having a fruitful interior life. And folks, there's things that we do to make the outside of us look bearable to everybody around us. And we'll spend considerable time on our exterior. How much time do we spend on our interior? A fruitful interior. We want to have a fruitful exterior life. My wife wants me to look good on the outside. She tells me many times before I leave, it's like an 8-year-old coming to make sure I can go to Walmart and represent the Morgan household. And she'll say, come here. And she'll hear me getting ready. She'll come here. And I'll go walk by her. And she's like, John, you can't wear. At least, now we're down to this parameter right here. She's like, at least change the shirt. I got bacon grease running down it and all this stuff. At least change your shirt. I said, I am who I am. And I've been wearing some doozies out in public for a long time, haven't I, daughter? But way more important is what's on the inside. And I would say that it would at least be worth balancing to, if we're going to work on the exterior and we're going to present that, we should at least balance it and work on the inside as much as we're working on the outside. Because let me tell you, whether you work on the inside or not, it's coming out. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. That's scripture. You have a conversation with anybody, within minutes you'll find out what their heart looks like. Because out of the heart spring the issues of life, is what the word says. Flows the issues of life. It's like a river. It's like it's not dammed. It's not stopped off at all. It just flows out of you. It'll come because the word said it was. So I want to have a fruitful interior life. How does that accomplish? It's through prayer. That is the best way. And two areas of prayer. Now I want you to get this. The first thing that prayer does is it works out on our character. And this author described it like this. I thought it was such a great thing. He said, prayer is like a time exposure to God. Our souls function like photographic plates, and Christ's shining image is the light. The more we expose our lives to the white hot sun of His righteous life for, say, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, a half hour, a full hour, however much time you have, you ever looked at something with your eyes, like something very bright, and then close your eyes and you can see that? You can do that with your television screen at home. You can watch it for a few minutes and close your eyes, and all of a sudden you'll see that rectangle. That's what this is talking about. It makes an impression. It says, the more that we expose ourselves to His righteousness, the more His image will be burned into our character. Till Christ be formed in us, right? As we have seen, well, that goes on to something else. And then it says the second reason, the corresponding reason, is that prayer bends our will to God's will. Our wills. We each have a will, don't we? It's probably pretty strong. It's not that it's bad to have a strong will. It's bad if that will is not in alignment. Prayer bends our wills to God's will. So prayer develops our character, and it bends our will to God's will. And it gave this example. And this was the example. It said, if you throw a boat hook, so you've got this metal hook attached to a rope and you're on a boat. And it said, if you throw that boat hook up to the land and it hooks something on the shore, and you're in that boat and it catches, and you start tightening down and winching down and pulling that rope till it gets tight, you are not pulling the shore to you. You're pulling your boat to the shore. That's the picture of what prayer is supposed to be. It said, prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. That's a great picture, isn't it? Amen? It talked about a man whose name, I don't know if you've ever read anything from Dallas Willard. I've read some things on him. He's a very interesting mind, a very deep mind. But he said, there's a vanishing small percentage of those who are talking about prayer. They're Bible-believing churches, and they're talking about prayer, but he described them as a vanishing small percentage of those talking about prayer are actually doing what they're talking about. It's a very small, even though we come to church, even though we talk about prayer, it says it's a vanishing small percentage that actually even prays. Again, it's very quiet in here. I want a fruitful interior life. You want a fruitful interior life? I want prayer to develop my character. I want prayer to be what I have come into alignment with God, and my will has been bent through prayer into His will. And I'm not just always trying to pull Him to me. I realize that I'm coming into alignment with Him, and how right that feels to pull up into His shore. Lastly, Psalm chapter 40, verse 6. I'm going to read about I'll just go through 8. It's not a long psalm, but read the rest of it if you want to later. But I definitely have to pick up verse 6 because it says something so powerful. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. This is David. Has anybody ever waited patiently for the Lord? Let me tell you, if I had to be truthful enough to write this out, I would have to say, I waited impatiently for the Lord. That's more like it, isn't it? But David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I'm like, go, boy. And He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. The Lord's done that for me. Even though sometimes I was patient, many times I was impatient, He still did it. That's who He is. And I got this message for somebody today. Today is your day for this to happen on the level that you are established in Him. Anybody tired of knowing God but not being established in Him? We'll read it again. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You know what miry clay is? I've tried to go across creeks and ponds, and I've got my boot stuck to where I barely got my foot out, and it ate my boot. I'm telling you, there's that kind of, it's not far from here. I can take you to some places. You try to walk across it, you can say goodbye to your shoes. Y'all remember all them Gilligan's Islands shows? And they talked about quicksand. I was scared to death of some quicksand. I thought, I'm going to go down. What a horrible way to die. Because I knew me. If I saw a mud puddle or anything, I was going to get in it. If I was a creek, I was going to get in a creek. Didn't matter what time of year, I'd get in trouble. February, stripping down, jumping in the creek. But I thought that quicksand was going to kill me because Gilligan made it seem so convincing. But my feet have been in miry clay. He set my feet on a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. I said that to start off. We were created for praise. How many of you has put a song in your heart? Many will sit in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. That's a particular man. Blessed is that man. Say that man. That man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now get this. This is the verse. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. So something has changed right here. David was a mess. You look at it. It wasn't all David and Goliath. It wasn't all harp playing. David had some messy, messy moments in his life. But he said, God, you've pulled my feet out of the miry clay. You have established me. You've put my feet on a rock. You've been coverage for me. You've forgiven my sins. And I give you glory for that. But he said this. He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. My ears you have opened. What did the scripture say? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There will be some that see and don't perceive. There will be some that hear and don't understand. And if they did, they would turn from their sin and I would forgive them. And David said this. My ears you have opened. My ears you have opened. So, there's a way that we read that and that it is translated, and there's something missing in the translation because we didn't have words in English to figure it out. We didn't have words in English to give it a proper translation, and it said this. When it says, my ears you have opened, that is actually translated as, you have dug for me. You have digged for me. It's going to make sense in a second. This is an actual nugget to understand, it's metaphorically speaking, that apart from God's work, a human head without any ears. And it said this, it makes us actually a blockhead. We have ears, nose, and mouth. I'm sorry, we have eyes, nose, and mouth, but no ears. So when it says that this scripture, David said, there are things that you would say and I couldn't get them, God. I couldn't hear them, but you have opened up my ears and you have dug into my ears. Now just hang on. It's going to make even more sense in a second. But just understand this. Apart from God doing this work, it would be impossible for you to hear it, is what David was saying. So there's a work that God is able to do for us, and we need to ask Him to do that. God, open my ears. Will you ask Him that this morning? God, open my ears. dig in my ears. So let me read the rest of what it said. So what does God do? The problem was that the psalmist's religious colleagues had read about how to do the rituals of sacrifice. Remember they said, in sacrifices and in offerings you have not delighted. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. David said this, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. So what he was saying was there was a problem. The psalmist's religious colleagues had read about how to do the rituals of sacrifice. God help us if it all just becomes a ritual. They had missed the message, and the message was this. God had spoken, but they had not heard. How tragic that would be. Opened up with it. How tragic it would be for God to speak things to us, and we just don't hear him because we're consumed with other things. Go back to the soil. Other things. So what does God do? He takes a pick and a shovel and mines through the sides of the cranial granite, making openings through which his word can pass to the mind and heart. The result is hearing, and the hearer responds, "Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." So the words of Scripture are not merely to be read, but they are meant to be heard. They are meant to go to the heart. My ears you have opened. You have digged out my ears for me. Now I can hear your word. That's where revelation comes into us. That's where we start getting the things that no one else gets. It's described in the kingdom that for even when Jesus taught, he taught on purpose. He said, "For you it has been given," and they still didn't get it. They had to ask him privately, "Oh, Jesus, what did you mean?" He said, "To you it's been given. But to those who are outside, they're not going to get it. They're going to see and they're not going to perceive. They're going to hear and they're not going to understand." There is a difference. And he says, David says, this thing, while other people are doing sacrifices and doing all of the rituals, God, you've opened my heart and you've opened my ears, and now your word has made it to my heart. What have we been talking about? The seed getting into the heart. The word of God getting into our heart. And now revelation is available to me. How many times have you heard me say, revelation is not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. Say that. If you don't know it, get that inside of you right now. Revelation is not hidden from me. Revelation is hidden for me. That means it's worth some digging taking place. It's worth some petition going forth. It's worth me doing a little bit of work on my part. It's worth me digging what I can dig and asking God, open up my ears so I can hear what your word is saying, so that I can be established in you. I don't want to just do anything. I don't want to just do rituals, because I'll actually be worshiping God in ritualistic behavior, but not feeling a thing. Trying to get something out of God that's just not there anymore. Samson did it. Don't you remember when Samson said, instead of Samson, that he shook himself and did not understand. Said he wist not. That means he didn't understand that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. How horrible would that be for the Spirit of God to come on me at times and me recognize the Spirit of God, and then me think that I can just conjure it back up at any time. The problem is that Samson had been playing patty cake with God and using the power of God to his advantage. You remember there's some things that Samson did with the power of God that God was not pleased with. We'll get in trouble if we get off of the mark. Would you come, Christine? Listen. There's a danger every time we come to church. Because 99% of the time, I'm going to preach. And it's not because I'm a great preacher. It's because I'm going to open up His words. And I'm going to say some things to you out of His word. 99% of the time, that's going to happen. The danger of me opening up this word and reading anything. Psalm 39, I'm just pulling to, I said, I will guard my ways. Well, how about that right there? How about that as something to, Lord, what will I read today? That's a pretty good one. The danger of that right there is, though, that the word goes out and you heard it. But did you get it? There's a responsibility with His word. Your soil. Yes, we plow it with praise. Yes, we plow it with worship. But God has made your soil so fertile that any seed that gets in there, however it gets there, you're going to have to deal with it. If it's a good seed, praise the Lord. If it's not a good seed, work. To work, because it's going to grow. It's going to sprout. Do you let it take root? The Bible talks about that. It talks about sin. After it is conceived, after it grows, after the end result is that it'll bring death. When do you pull it out? That's why I said that either you'll deal with it or it'll deal with you. You kill it or it'll kill you. You put your alignment of your will with God's will, or you go and go on your own, and that's... We should have lived enough life to know by now that my own will is not benefiting me like His will benefit me. So I want to take some time this morning. I've preached about it. It's preached to you His word. I haven't made any of this up. It's His word, but it's your heart. It's His word, but it's your heart. It's His seed, but it's your heart. Last week, I told you the way we ended the service. Remember, I said, let's do something crazy. Let's take that scripture, Psalm 119, verse 11, and say, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I said, let's take that hiding of His word, and let's act like we're just plowing one more time and plowing to cover the seed, because the seed needs to be covered. So just, you remember we did that? We all did it together, so if you felt a little crazy, we all felt crazy together. But we did that. Just a little symbolic thing. Say, God. And I prayed that the seed of God's word would show up in your life this week. I told you that. I've seen it so many times. Seed usually takes 5 to 7 days. Well, that was the amount of time that we have between seeing each other. Most of us as a church, we come together every Sunday. 5 to 7 days. Some of you I see a little bit more, see you along the way. See you going down the road, or see you at Wednesday night prayer meeting, or see you at some other function that we had. We just finished up our Bible study on Saturdays. We'll start that again in July. We might see each other a little bit more, but seeds are going to come up, folks. Seeds are going to come up. I'm proud of where my grass is at right now. But if I leave it alone, I told you I left it alone before and thought I could skip a year. And I said that to say this, you don't get a day off in the kingdom. I've said that over and over. You don't get a day off in the kingdom. You've got an enemy against you. And he's going to drop his seed everywhere that he can, hoping that some will take. Your heart, your soil. I believe His very word is for you today. I believe that He wants you to be established in Him. And I believe it's going to take the work that we do on Sundays plus the work that you'll do every day. Will you ask God right now, say, dig this hard place in my head until an opening occurs that I hear your word. Are you asking to do that? God, do the work inside of me. I gotta have your word. I gotta have the good seed of your word. And it's gotta work its way right down into my heart, Lord. So let me do the work on my heart right now. I'm just going to open it up for you right now. If you'll move, can I just be honest with you? Can I just share a frustration with you? This is going to be the 20th year of this church this year. We moved here in 2005. Started a church. This is our third location. I started in ministry in 1995, so this is year number 30 for me. I got a right to expect some things from the Lord. When I first started preaching, I gave an altar call every time. I didn't know a service without an altar call. I had somebody make these wooden things right here. We called them altars. There's really nothing special about them. It just offers us a place to move to. But I give altar calls. And then sometimes I don't, because I just reason in myself. It's kind of embarrassing to give altar call and nobody comes. I'm telling you, try. I'm not preaching to you suggestions. You might take them as suggestions, but they are life. The Word of God is life. And it demands a response. And it doesn't mean you've got to come to this altar, but you do have to come to grips with what just came into your ears. And the Bible says that that seed that was just broadcast, if you don't pay attention, then it just falls against the wayside. And I'll tell you who will pay attention to it: the birds of the air. The enemy knows the value of that seed. And he'll do everything he can to stop that seed from getting to your soil. And he'll take 3 swipes at it. But if it hits the soil of your heart, there's nothing else he can do about it. That's why you should say, I'm going to get that seed of his word in my heart today, so that something will be produced in me that came from God. That's my responsibility. I'd ride that altar all the way to heaven if that's what it takes. I'll be the one that comes down and asks for prayer if that's what it takes. We stay for a while. I love how we have fellowship. And every now and again, someone will say, well, come pray for me. And I love that time. But the most important thing is not that you get in preached to. Because if that's all that happens, then it's just incomplete. It's not that it's wrong. It's incomplete. The most important thing is that you get the word and you say, God, activate that inside of me. Get that inside of me. I refuse to leave if there's a bird that's going to get this seed from me. I refuse to leave if I don't have enough soil that this thing's going to spring up quickly and it's going to be taken away. I refuse to believe that I'm going to go back into some thorny places and some viney places that I know that they're in my life. And if I get out of here and I haven't got that thing sealed up inside of me, then good luck, and it's going to get choked out. And I'm tired of it getting choked out. Tired of it getting choked out. It's your word, God. It's too important. So that's why I say, I believe that the word is protected right now. And it's right there at the good seed, at the good soil of your heart. And now it's your responsibility to say, God, your word, let that thing be at the right depth inside of me so that it'll germinate and that it'll produce a crop inside of me for your glory, God. Yes. Tired of being frustrated with it. Tired of being frustrated with it. I love you guys so much. I don't take this lightly, and I don't think you do too. But please don't leave here without His word getting embedded inside of you. If I go to a gym for 20 years and I look the same that I did 20 years ago, something's wrong. And it's probably not a problem with the gym. It's probably a problem with me. This takes us doing our part. And He will more than He'll meet us right there. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Was that 5 more minutes that you could say, okay, I choked that 5 minutes down and I'm ready to go now? Or can you say, God, that rang a bell inside of me. I need this time with you. So I'm just going to open it up. You can come down here and pray. You can stay where you're at and pray. You can move around. You can walk around. You can go upstairs. There's all kinds of beautiful things for you to do up there in an atmosphere of prayer. But I want our church to become more prayerfully minded when it comes to the word. I can't leave until I have asked God to lock that word inside of me. The word talks about sealing it up inside of me. Could you say, God, seal your word inside of me? Lord, in the name of Jesus, your word has gone forth. Let your word be sealed inside of us. Let it be into the special good soil that has been prepared. God, what a horrible thing if we've prepared the soil and the seed's gone and we haven't done anything about it. Let your seed hit the soil right now, God. Cultivate in me a heart that produces for you, for your glory. Many times over, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just take a few minutes and make it an atmosphere of prayer right now?